Hi everyone, and welcome to It's the Climb, the podcast that helps you climb your everyday mountains. I'm your co-host Jonas Kane, here with my good friend and climbing partner Andy Berger. In this episode, we sat down with Ben Supik. Ben is a fitness and nutrition expert who has consulted with some of the top universities and Fortune 500 companies in the country. He is also the founder of Activate Body, a personal training and nutrition coaching studio in Baltimore, where he provides expert-level fitness coaching in an intimate setting for people who aren't interested in the traditional gym environment. Ben has a passion for making fitness accessible, effective, and enjoyable for everyone, which is why we brought him onto the show, to provide you with simple and effective strategies to keep you healthy and strong as you make your everyday climb. The last time Ben came on the show, he shared strategies to help improve our sleep. And in today's episode, he takes us to the next level by sharing insights on nutrition, specifically the valuable role that protein plays. You're going to find tremendous value in this episode, so sit back, relax, and enjoy the climb. But first, here's a word about our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by Rind Snacks. Skin-on dried fruit snacks that are a natural and healthy source of fiber, vitamins, and antioxidants that's both better for you and our planet. In addition to their line of chewy dried fruit, Rind Snacks now also has a line of crispy snacks in four flavors: kiwi, orange, apple, and peach. Crispy, all-natural snacks that you can enjoy at home or on the go, and best of all, they are just fruit. No added sugars or preservatives. Visit rindsnacks.com and use the discount code BRAVE, that's B-R-A-V-E, at checkout to receive 15% off your order. And $5 from your order will also be donated to Camp Brave Trails, supporting LGBTQ youth.
All right, before we dive into the rest of this episode, I have to tell you about how much I love Raise. Raise is literally raising the bar for what desserts can be. They are so delicious that you would never know that there's no sugar added. They are low carb. They average between 1 to 3 grams of net carbs. They're gluten-free, no artificial sweeteners or preservatives, non-GMO. They are keto-friendly and certified kosher. They are absolutely delicious and amazing without anything to feel guilty about. And best of all, you can enjoy these freshly baked desserts without even leaving your home. They will ship these nationwide. Get your order today. You're absolutely going to love them. Visit eatraise.com. That is EATRAIZE.com. And if you use the discount code CLIMB20 at checkout, you'll receive 20% off your order. Check them out. You'll be glad you did.
Ben, good to see you.
Good to see you again.
Thank you so much for the training advice you gave me for the rim to rim the Grand Canyon. 50 miles, 2 days, like 14,000 vertical feet. So
yeah, awesome. My pleasure. Sounds like it was a success.
It was. Everyone was great. And excellent. Selfishly, I felt great. I did my best time ever. You know, I'm 5 years later in my life, but still did it better.
Outstanding. I'm proud of you, so man. Thanks. Nice job.
Your workout regime was awesome. It's great. And nutrition that I did myself was super helpful. So that's what we're here to talk about today is nutrition.
Great segue. Yeah.
Last episode, we talked about sleep, and my sleep has been good. I'm following it on my app. And I think I told you I added some magnesium, 3 and 8.
Yes.
To help my brain rest a little bit. So that's been good. I can see my app that my brain is less stressed and I'm getting more REM sleep. So that's good.
Happy to hear it, man. Happy to hear it. That's great.
My sleep hygiene is great to you. Thanks. So what are we talking about today?
So to your point, yes, we're going to talk about protein today, but that's a pretty wide-ranging topic. We could go for hours.
Yes, we could.
Right? So I thought it would be really great today to focus on one of the most important subtopics about nutrition, which is protein.
Okay. So we talked about sleep, and we're going to layer on top on our pyramid, on top of sleep goes nutrition, and we're going to talk about one of kind of the block of nutrition. And
yes, got it. Exactly. Got it. Exactly. So let's see. Before we start, we should just sort of cover the basics, which is what is protein. So a quick primer, all things that a human can eat to extract energy from, to extract calories from, right, can be classified as only one of four types of molecule. Okay. There's a protein.
Right.
There's carbohydrate.
Okay.
There's fat.
Right.
And there's alcohol.
Those. Oh, I like the fourth one.
One of these is not like the other. So anything that we as humans can consume and extract energy from ultimately is one or a combination of those four molecules.
Okay.
Okay. Alcohol is kind of on its own island and right, it's not essential to human function. And that's not to say that the other three are absolute requirements, but they are pretty important for most people in most situations trying to live their best and healthiest life.
Okay. Not including alcohol.
Not including alcohol. Okay. Correct.
Oh, shoot. I thought I was really healthy for a second.
Alas, I'm sorry. I wish I had better news on that front. But nonetheless, so now we're down to our three main ones, which is protein, carbohydrates, okay, and fats.
Right.
And arguably, one could do without any carbohydrates. That's debatable depending on one's nutritional philosophy and objectives. One could theoretically do without fats as well. Again, I'm not here to say if that's a good idea or bad idea today. But the one thing I think all nutritionists would agree on is that we all need protein.
Okay. It's a great place to start then.
Yeah, absolutely. And protein is also one of the most leverageable of the macronutrients or nutrition objectives one can manage, meaning that by just focusing on protein, we can see a lot of benefits and changes for the better in our body, even if we're not paying attention to anything else like our carbs or our calories and things of that nature.
Okay.
So to start, it's important to understand what protein is.
Okay.
A lot of people think protein, they think bodybuilders,
right?
Or big athletes, like I'm going to put on a lot of muscle, so I have to eat a lot of protein. And while certainly protein has uses in a bodybuilding or high-level athlete type situation, it truly is necessary for every human being on the face of the earth, and even outside the realm of muscle. When we consume proteins, we break them down into what's called an amino acid.
Right.
An amino acid is like, if we think of amino acids as Lego bricks, and then they brick together to create one protein molecule. So the body breaks down those proteins and it has now amino acids to work with. And those amino acids are used for many purposes. Sure, they play a role in muscle synthesis, but they're also used in things like the creation of antibodies, in hormone production, in transporting molecules throughout the body. So there's a lot of things that protein is essential for that has nothing to do with the amount of muscle you have on your frame.
Okay.
Just sure. Being healthy, being resilient, and functioning optimally as humans.
Right. So, I mean, I've read that people, some of my health experts and gurus, in addition to you, suggest that during COVID, we get a little bit more whey protein than normal because it helps with our immune system. So
that's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Generally speaking, you know, when stressors are higher, this is when we want to make sure we are more optimally prepared.
Okay.
And in the case of nutrition, yes, that time is a time of high stress is a time we want to make sure our protein levels are optimized.
Okay. Super.
Yeah. So, well, then the question becomes, well, how much protein?
If you were going to get to that, that was my question. Okay.
Yeah, and it's an important one. And I like to think of protein intake the way I think of lots of nutrients, which is not a binary classification of enough or not enough, because I think that's not quite nuanced enough to describe how our body uses those nutrients. So instead, let's think of two different thresholds. The first one we'll call a deficiency threshold.
Okay.
All right. And what that means is if you're consuming below this amount, potential bad things are happening with regards to your health.
Okay.
Okay. How much or how bad? Well, that depends and it's case by case. But we can safely say that if we're not consuming at least the certain amount to get past the deficiency threshold, we are likely compromising our health to some degree greater than zero.
Okay.
And when it comes to humans, we find that deficiency threshold can be typically calculated as your body weight in pounds divided by 3.
Body weight in pounds. Mm-hmm. So my weight divided by 3.
Correct.
Is my minimum.
Correct. Okay. In grams of protein. Meaning that if you look on
Correct. Right? So I weigh 155 pounds, so I need about
51?
50, yeah. Grams of protein.
Exactly.
Okay. That's the minimum. Okay.
Every single day.
Got it.
All right. And if you're consuming less than that, it means at least on that particular day, your body is not getting enough amino acids via the protein you're consuming to do all the things it wants to do to help you function your best.
Okay. Build hair, muscle.
All those things.
Nails.
Yeah.
Okay.
Immune system, all of that. So that's our first priority, is before we wrap anything else that we talk about today, we want to make sure that we're consuming at least enough protein to get past that deficiency threshold.
Okay. I just had one of your shakes in your cafe, so I'm good.
Perfect. That should get you there.
Yeah, 45. Yeah.
And it's important people understand that when we're trying to figure out how much protein is in something, that we know how to go about calculating that.
Okay.
So, for example, I think you already know this, but when I say 50 grams of protein,
right?
I don't mean 50 grams of chicken. I don't mean 50 grams of yogurt.
Sure. Right.
So we know that within a larger amount of food, by weight, right?
Sure.
That there's a smaller amount of protein. So a lot of food has a food label on it. That's a really easy way to find out how much protein is in what you're eating. Some things aren't labeled. Fruits and vegetables, for example. But if you Google just the name of that food and the word nutrition, the internet will typically provide you with what would be a food label for...
Yeah, like chicken breast, for example.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
Which has about 20, just for people listening at home.
Correct, yes.
Okay. Ding, 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 ding. Good.
So that's how we get to past our protein deficiency. And it should be, in my opinion, one of the top priorities nutritionally for anyone looking to function their best.
Is
consume at or past your protein deficiency threshold every single day.
Okay, so this program is just about how to live a better life and overcome obstacles and challenges and go to the next level on our journey. So we have to be at our floor, right? So we want to. That's the all of our listeners should be there and strive to get more, because we want to be beyond just basics. We want to be excellent. So
that's right.
In our journey,
if we're not consuming that much, at least we are not going to function as well as we could.
So where should we be on our journey?
Well, great question. Because I suspect most of your listenership doesn't just want to be non-deficient.
Correct. Yes.
Right? We want to function optimally.
Yes. Yeah.
And be able to function in such a way that we can give our very best. Our body can perform at its very best, whether it comes to dealing with stress, whether it comes to overcoming an obstacle. And so now we'll look for our optimization threshold.
Okay.
All right. So an optimization threshold is a second boundary now in terms of intake. And at this point, we can say, okay, if you get to this threshold, you can be pretty confident that you've now taken in enough protein in this case to have all systems go as well as they can.
Okay.
And that's not to say that it's bad if you go past this. It just means it's diminishing returns.
Okay.
All right. So this threshold is really what we want to focus on and say, okay, at all costs, really try and get to or exceed this number.
Okay.
So our optimization threshold, we're going to take our body weight in pounds again.
Okay.
And now,
so I'm still at 155 as I was 5 minutes ago.
Exactly. Okay. And now we're going to divide it, or I should say we're going to multiply it by 2/3. So in this case, that's going to be about 105 grams of protein.
All right,
so 2/3 of your weight.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So this means that ideally, in your case, weighing 155,
okay,
you would consume 105 grams of protein every day. And if you did, or went past it, you could be confident your body, at least as it comes to protein, is functioning optimally.
Okay. So 0.67 times my total body weight. Okay.
Bingo. Right. That's right.
Yeah, I've heard 0.8. I've heard, you know, all different numbers. I've heard once, the latest one I heard was, it's more difficult for most people to find out, but your weight, your muscle mass weight. So
yes.
I did a test recently, which said 80 pounds of muscle. Do you believe I should be higher than that?
Yeah. And remember, all of these formulas, they are generalizations.
Sure.
Right? Short of running a battery of blood tests and so on, that's about as close as we can get.
Okay.
But here's the good news.
Good.
we feel very confident in this day and age that you can't overeat on protein. For the longest time, there was concern, right? Can your liver handle
it?
Yeah,
sure.
What's
right. Yeah.
And good news, we're pretty sure these days that it's okay.
Okay.
You don't have to worry about overdoing it on protein. So, you know, hit 80 grams, that's better than 70 grams.
Okay.
Hit 90, that's better than 80. And remember, these classifications are not black and white, meaning that if we said your optimal protein intake is 105 grams and you only had 103 that day, that doesn't mean you're screwed and the whole thing is all lost. Rather, it just means, okay, that 103 grams was better than 102 grams. And if you can go to 104 grams tomorrow, that'll be that much better as well.
So that number, is that number stick if I'm working out and trying to get hypertrophy, which muscle gain, that is the same number?
Well, then we can go a little higher.
We're going higher.
So everything else we've done before simply has to do with body function.
Okay.
Okay.
So this is 105 is for my optimal body function at rest.
That's right.
Okay.
Exactly. All the internal functioning will function optimally at that two-thirds. A little more disagreement in the industry about what's optimal when it comes to muscle gain. But the sort of tried and true number here is 1 gram of protein per pound body weight.
Okay.
So in your case.
I can do the math here. Hold on.
Hang on.
155 grams.
That's right.
Yeah.
Bingo.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so if you're consuming 155 grams, then we can likely presume that your protein intake is not holding you back as it relates to your muscle gain.
Okay.
There's, of course, other factors as well,
sure.
But in terms of protein, you're good to go. All right. So when we put it all together, we end up with these sort of different levels, these different tiers to try and prioritize, right? So the number one is just try and get past that deficiency threshold.
Okay.
One-third your weight.
One-third your weight.
If you're doing that consistently, let's try and hit that optimization threshold at two-thirds your weight.
Okay.
And sure, if you're trying to bodybuild or just put on more muscle and more than that, then perhaps going to 1 gram per pound body weight is going to be ideal.
So for people who are training for the rim to rim to rim of the Grand Canyon or running a marathon, is it still about a gram?
It is.
Okay.
It is. That would be ideal. But you know, the best judge here is going to be how you feel. You know, is your body doing everything that you want it to be able to in the way you think it should be able to do it?
Okay.
If you're getting the results you're looking for, if your body is performing the way that you want it to, then however much you're taking in, that's probably about the right amount.
Okay.
And if there's anything about how your body is performing that is suboptimal, where you say, I wish I could perform a little better here or feel a little better there, it's worth taking a look at our nutrition, certainly, and our sleep, as we discussed before. And if you're looking at nutrition, I always recommend starting with protein intake.
Okay. Fantastic.
Yeah. So one other thing that's worth taking a look at here is now that we know what we want to try to target. Now we got to figure out how to target it. How do I get there?
Okay.
Because if I don't eat a chicken breast, for example, with every single meal, I'm going to find it a little difficult, perhaps, to get to those amounts. And this is where we come to the concept of supplements.
Okay.
Because to be very clear, a supplement is by nature supplemental.
Correct.
Exactly.
My coach Ben taught me that. Yeah.
They're not called requirements.
Yeah.
So to be very clear, we do not have to use protein powder or protein bars and shakes and things of that nature to achieve these numbers. But they do make it a bit easier.
Okay.
All right. So to be very clear, there's nothing superior and there's nothing really inferior about using a protein supplement versus using a whole food option. Now that's speaking in a bubble a bit because sometimes certain foods bring other things with them that we may not want to be consuming. But speaking strictly about protein, we can use supplements to help us because supplements are usually lower cost in terms of how much you pay per gram of protein, lower prep time.
Sure.
Right? If I chicken breast, for example, I've got to cook it. Storage. Chicken breast has to be refrigerated and kept cool the whole time. So these logistical obstacles can impede my ability to consume optimal protein from a purely whole food diet.
Okay.
But if that works for you, by all means, please proceed. At the same time, however, if you find it to be a big hassle to get to, let's say in your example, 105 grams of protein, have one good protein shake, there's 40 to 50 grams right there.
Okay.
Right? Now a piece of chicken with dinner and you're well on your way.
Okay. Now I'm at Yes, 65.
Right, 65. Okay. And then perhaps like some yogurt or you know, there's lots of different options there as opposed to trying to just eat, for example, chicken to get to 105 grams.
Okay.
That's a large chicken.
Yeah, it is. Right? It's a big chicken. Yeah.
And then lastly, now that we know sort of, okay, what our options are, so we can seek out whole foods like animal protein, vegetable proteins, dairy proteins, certainly, with supplemental proteins like bars and shakes, I really would urge your listenership to consider, briefly at least, tracking this, putting some numbers to things, as opposed to saying, I'm just going to try and eat more protein.
What's your preferred method of tracking?
Sure. I have two that I enjoy the most. One is I like MyFitnessPal, the app.
MyFitnessPal. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Really simple, really easy to use. And sometimes I just use the notepad on my phone. Really easy. Call me old-fashioned, but if I just punch those numbers in and keep a running tally of my protein intake, it's a nice way to just quickly audit myself for a day or two. If you think you consume enough protein, make sure. Run the numbers just for a day or two, where I'm not suggesting forever. And if it turns out you are right and you're hitting the numbers you want, great. You clearly don't need to track this.
Yeah.
But if you surprise yourself and it looks like, oh, I'm actually consuming less protein than I thought, then you may want to take a look at considering, you know, adding another piece of chicken to your diet or a protein bar or something of that nature.
Good, good. Okay. By MyFitnessPal, is that free?
It is. So there's a paid version as well, but you can track your protein for free with that app.
Good. Good.
Yes. And so I think those are the main pillars here is we know how much protein to target. We know how to target in terms of what we're going to use. And we know what methods we can employ to make sure we're getting there. If you just do those three things, even just for a couple of days to really put it under a magnifying glass and tell, then you can make sure that henceforward, you're optimizing your body as it relates to protein so it can handle whatever life throws at it.
Good. Yeah. So... you know, there are a lot of vegans out there.
Oh, yeah.
So it's more challenging. Do you have any vegan clients that you
work
with? How do you advise them?
Absolutely. So the numbers don't change based on dietary preferences, right? So just because we might happen to be vegan for a variety of reasons,
sure.
Our deficiency and optimization thresholds still remain what they are. It is absolutely still possible to consume enough protein to these standards on a vegan diet.
Really?
But it is more challenging.
Okay.
In that there's less options on the menu.
Okay.
Right? Meaning you have to be more selective. So more beans, mm-hmm. Lentils, all sorts of legumes, right, are a great option there. Really taking a look at, again, the food labels for consuming, and you'll find that certain vegetables contain more proteins than others. And so you want to make sure you're just sort of, again, taking a look at the numbers under the hood to make sure that what you're consuming gets you where you want to be. Another struggle vegans may have is consuming an optimal amount of calories when they're consuming the right amount of protein. But I would contend that this protein consumption takes priority. So okay. I would recommend anyone who's vegan, who's interested in optimizing their protein intake, to again, audit themselves for a day or two. And often vegans will find protein supplementation to be a little easier here, but there's plenty of vegan protein powders, protein shakes.
Yeah. I'm using a variety. I'm using whey, and I just added a vegan protein just because I think it's better for the environment not to be just pounding away on dairy. So
exactly.
So I alternate between vegan and it seems to be effective for me. So.
Perfect. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So just because you're vegan does not mean you have to forfeit optimal protein intake. We just have to do a little more homework sometimes.
Yeah, I think the world's changed, right? You can get a Impossible burger and Beyond Meat burger. You know, it might violate the spirit of veganism, but still, you're getting a good source of protein.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. So there we go. I think that if your listeners are able to take these actionable steps and audit their own protein. Consider use of supplementation, but know that it's not essential to getting good protein intake, and really prioritizing getting past that deficiency threshold, and then working towards hitting that optimization threshold on a regular basis. And I think they will notice a difference in how they feel and how they perform.
Okay, good. Let me ask you one more question.
Sure.
I know you got to run, but collagen protein,
It
seems to be the latest rage as a supplement.
Yeah, it is. So the claims to collagen protein are typically that it improves things like skin health. I've heard some brain function as well, skin health, nail health, tooth health, things of that nature. And per what I've seen so far, the jury is still out.
Okay.
I've not seen anything consistently compelling enough for me to comfortably say, oh, yes, absolutely, it's a superior protein or a protein you should be consuming. What we do know is that it's not detrimental. It's not bad for you.
Yeah, right.
And it may very well contain extra benefits that the other proteins may not have. It typically is a little more expensive than other proteins, though, as well. So it's a choice to make in terms of, again, if we know there's no drawbacks and there may be some extra benefits and it fits within your budget, absolutely include that in what you eat. However, let's stick with the science we know for sure. If we know we have to pass the deficiency threshold and aim for an optimization threshold, independent of collagen intake or lack thereof, it's important, I think, that everyone is aware of what they need to sort of devote their attention to as the main priority. And then if you're optimizing your protein every single day, sure, you can experiment with collagen protein. Again, see how you feel, see how you perform.
Okay. Yeah, is my research showing that it doesn't have the amino acid lutein, which is if your goal, again, is hypertrophy, which is muscle gain. It's missing that, which triggers muscle gain. So it might have other benefits, but muscle gain is not one of them.
Absolutely. The one thing I can safely say is you would not want to rely on collagen protein as your sole source of protein. Okay. You'd really be robbing yourself of some essential amino acids.
Great. Well, thanks for your time. I can't wait to hear what we talk about in our next episode.
My pleasure. We'll keep it going and build more blocks onto that pyramid so that your listeners can be as ready as possible.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and we encourage you to share it with the people in your life who might benefit from hearing Ben's story. Today's episode is brought to you by Rhine Snacks, a natural and healthy source of fiber, vitamins, and antioxidants that's both better for you and our planet. Visit rhinesnacks.com and use the discount code BRAVE at checkout to receive 15% off your order. This episode is also brought to you by Ray's, freshly baked, gluten-free, and keto-friendly desserts delivered nationwide, raising the bar for what desserts can be. Visit eatraise.com and use the discount code CLIMB20 at checkout to receive 20% off your order. If you enjoyed today's episode, then just imagine how much you, your team, and the community you serve would benefit from the live experience as a workshop or keynote address. Visit our website, itsthecliMBpodcast.com, to learn more about our leadership and team building programs. And that link is also listed in the description of today's episode. Until next time, we are Jonas and Andy, and this has been another episode of It's the Climb.